For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Tonight we continue our study of the book, or the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. And tonight, Paul is dealing with a very difficult problem in the Corinthian church. It's the problem of the so-called wisdom of the world creeping into the church and suppressing the wisdom of God and covering, if you will, the good news of the cross. And really, this problem is coming in from two sides. On one side, there is the wisdom of the world that comes from the Jews. In the Jewish understanding of what the Messiah is supposed to be, the Messiah is supposed to come and make the Jewish people a great nation again. So the very idea of a crucified Messiah is a contradiction in terms. It doesn't make any sense in the wisdom of the Jews. How can the Messiah have died on the cross? It doesn't make any sense. So there's the wisdom of the world coming from the Jewish side, and then there's the wisdom of the world coming from the Greek side, from the pagan world, where the Greeks believe that God, by his very nature, is totally apathetic. God does not care about people. God does not care about... God doesn't have compassion. So the very idea of God dying on the cross for people, it's nonsense. God doesn't care about people. God is apathetic from the Greek mind. So from the wisdom of the world coming from the Greek side, the wisdom of the cross is foolishness. And so Paul is concerned not just because these are ideas that are sort of floating out there outside the church. He is concerned because these ideas are creeping into the church and are, if you will, covering up the wisdom of God, the cross of Christ. And they don't strike at the heart of the cross. They don't come head on. They sort of seep in subtly, seducing God's people. And as Paul explains in verse 18, this is a major problem. Because those who cling to the wisdom of the world are perishing. By their unwillingness to receive in faith the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the cross, they are condemning themselves to an eternity of torment. Because that's what life without the love of God is. It's torment. And by rejecting the wisdom of God, by clinging to the wisdom of the world, they are condemning themselves to a life without God's love. And so Paul is writing urgently to the church to call them back to their original faith in the wisdom of God displayed on the cross of Christ. Now, one of my favorite books to read to the children at Christmas time is The Polar Express. And I'm pretty sure that I have talked about The Polar Express before, but it's a wonderful, wonderful book, and it's a great movie as well that really captures the story of the book. The Polar Express is about a boy who is on the verge of losing his faith, his belief in Santa Claus, because some of his friends have stopped believing. And so on this one Christmas Eve, as he is teetering on faith and unfaith in Santa Claus, he is offered a ride to the North Pole on the Polar Express, where he gets to meet Santa Claus in person. And there, this young boy is chosen to receive the very first gift of Christmas, and he chooses as his gift, Santa Claus says, you can choose whatever you want. He chooses a bell from Santa's sleigh, and as he takes that bell and rings it, it has the most beautiful ring that he has ever heard. It is exquisite, and he just rings it in his ear. Well, the next morning, Christmas Day arrives, he is brought back home, and as they wake up and are opening their presents from Santa Claus and he has the bell, it's there that he realizes that his parents, who have lost their faith in Santa Claus, as they shake the bell, they think that the bell is broken
because they cannot hear its ring. And it's then that the little boy understands that in order to hear the bell, one must believe. And every time I read the last line of the book, I have to say it brings tears to my eyes, bittersweet tears, because this last line describes the effect of the wisdom of the world on the church. At one time, the narrator writes, most of my friends could hear the bell. But as years passed, it fell silent for all of them. Even Sarah, my sister, found one Christmas that she could no longer hear its sweet sound. Though I have grown old, the bell still rings for me, as it does for all who truly believe. For those who believe, the cross of Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. But for those who do not, the cross is foolishness. And if foolishness, then without power. And if without power, then without the power to save. Saint Anselm, who was Archbishop of Canterbury in the 11th century, had an incredibly keen mind, a very logical mind, a great thinker of the church and of the world, really. And he argued that faith in the wisdom of God, faith in the cross of Christ, was not foolishness, but was logical. It was reasonable. And he wrote a lot about how it is reasonable to believe. It's not blind faith, but it is a reasoned faith. And yet he understood that one needed the eyes of faith in order to see the cross of Christ, that it is indeed the wisdom of God. And he put it this way. He had this little saying. He said, I do not seek to understand in order to believe, but I believe in order that I might understand. I believe, I put my faith in Christ in order that I might understand that the cross, though foolishness to the world, is the wisdom of God. For about 3 years, I led a weekly Bible study with some of my young adults, the young adults here in town. Some of these young men and women grew up in this church, and others who didn't grow up in this church grew up in churches like St. Matthew's here in the Darlington community. And one of the things that was a bit of a shock is that some of these young men and women who had grown up in the church, not all, but some, seemed totally incapable of bringing the wisdom of God to bear on the important decisions of their life. They seemed totally unaware of the wisdom of God, a wisdom that is different from the wisdom of the world. It did not even seem to enter their mind to consult the wisdom of God on incredibly important matters. They simply did not have the tools or the awareness to bring that wisdom to bear. The wisdom of God, the wisdom of the cross, had been shrouded for them. The problem that Paul was dealing with in the Corinthian church is a problem that the church always has to deal with, and that is the problem of the wisdom of the world seeping in, creeping in, obscuring the wisdom of God, so that the people of God do not cling to the wisdom of God, but are seduced by the wisdom of the world. Beloved, the wisdom of the power of the cross, has been entrusted to us. The wisdom of this world is very seductive. It is always alluring. And our only defense is a relationship with a living God, lived out day by day as we read His holy word and receive His wisdom. Every day as we commit ourselves in prayer. That is the only thing that keeps the wisdom of the world at bay. We must seek His wisdom, beloved, every day. For when the church loses her faith in the wisdom of God and the cross of Christ, she loses everything. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your Apostle Paul. Thank you that you opened his eyes to see the danger of the wisdom of this world, the so-called wisdom of this world. Give us, Lord Christ, the gift of your Holy Spirit that we might seek you in your holy word and in prayer, in a relationship with you, that we might bring the wisdom of the cross, your wisdom, to bear on our lives and our decisions, and might teach others to do likewise. For I ask this in your precious and powerful name.